And yet, Shafiq, they have denied it once again. But, you know, and I mean, yes, I mean, you're right. This, the Commission of Inquiry just joins a growing number of bodies and experts who have concluded that Israel is committing a genocide, and yet Israel continues to deny it. But I think that, you know, there is no more, you know, with space for Israel is closing in now. I mean, I think this report is particularly important in that members of the United Nations now cannot, you know, especially those that are trying to justify the genocide and providing support to Israel in the form of arms, resources, political support, etc., will no longer be able to hide behind denials because, you know, they're going to have to face what these reports are really clearly stating, that Israel is committing a genocide. And in addition to that, Israel is committing crimes against humanity, against the people of Palestine.
Yeah, I mean, it's illustrative, I think, that denial is the only default position that a country can have on an issue such as this. Generally, if one looks at history, these countries will have other justifications. It'll be half a denial, but here we have an outright denial. I think that in itself is quite a leading response, as it were.
Well, I think, you know, it's all that we can expect from Israel. I mean, Israel has denied, will continue to not deny, even though we are living the genocide. I mean, you know, it is in our faces. You know, they all, you know, the, I mean, you know, according to Amnesty's analysis, and it's the same analysis by the Navi Pillay's Commission of Inquiry, that you know, Israel has committed four acts prohibited under the Genocide Convention, and this includes killing members of the group, causing them serious bodily and mental harm, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction, and imposing measures intended to prevent births. I mean, I don't know how clearer that can be, because, you know, we've watched Israel bomb hospitals. We've watched them now starving the Palestinians. We've watched them, you know, annihilating the Palestinians. We've watched them, you know, killing and murdering children. So, I mean, you know, there's nothing to deny. But I think another crucial element for those of your listeners who may not understand, you know, the Genocide Convention and why it's so critical, is that with the Genocide Convention, they are, you know, it's really about intent and execution. So, I mean, obviously, we're seeing the execution. It's in our faces. But I think, you know, our report, the Amnesty International report, as well as all the other reports, and especially, and this report too, has concluded that Israel has had and continue to have the genocidal intent to destroy in whole or in part the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. And I mean, the way in which this, you know, it's a very difficult aspect to prove, but I think in this case, it wasn't that difficult because we've seen statements made by Israeli authorities that have provided direct evidence for the genocidal intent. So we've seen, you know, Netanyahu calling Palestinians evil monsters. We've seen the Minister of Defense basically, you know, calling them human animals. So, I mean, you know, the intent was very clear. And I think that, you know, and, you know, Israel will deny, Shafiq, but I think the important part of this is that the country supporting Israel, you know, really will have to rethink their positions because, you know, they cannot claim that they didn't know. And this, and these reports now compel the states to take immediate action and fulfill their legal and moral obligation to halt Israel's genocide. Otherwise, they too will be complicit, and well, they already are, some of them, but will continue to be complicit and will probably face the same outcomes as the Israeli authorities.
Indeed. And if one looks at recent voting trends in the United Nations, the motions have won by thumping majorities. We've had a couple of Pacific Island atolls voting on the side of Israel, and you have America, wherever possible, voting no or vetoing, particularly on Security Council issues. But beyond that, it's very bleak for Israel, isn't it? Because there isn't a country on this earth, United Kingdom also being an exception, because the Israeli president had some tea with a Prime Minister, I believe. But other than that, it's unanimous. It's there's no other way to describe it.
Well, I think there's still some resistance and there are still some countries that are not stepping up. So I think, you know, yes, the denial, you know, we can't deny it. But, you know, I think it's taken 2 years and nothing has been done. And I think for me, that is where the failure of the global leadership sits. I mean, you know, they at the end of the day, acknowledgement and doing nothing about it is just damning. And now, you know, I think that it's going to be really interesting, Shafiq, to see what happens in the next, you know, couple of days or weeks, because, you know, the findings of this report should actually compel all states to first and foremost halt all arms and security transfers to Israel. So, you know, they've got to bring about an end to this genocide. And those that are transferring arms and providing them with that ammunition in which they brutally and assassinate the Palestinians, these states will have to stop. And then, of course, you know, issues of reevaluating trade, but also, you know, countries with influence on Israel, you know, having to step up and, you know, exert a sort of a diplomatic, economic and political pressure. So I think that, you know, even within the EU, there is a mixed bunch there. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out and how the countries that are resisting are now going to be forced into taking action.
It's an interesting scenario, because if the world were to act as one, I mean, if the arms shipments were to stop now, today, there'd be blind panic in Tel Aviv. Or if certain countries like Spain, for example, were said, we will not handle Israeli goods in our ports, or like Turkey, who's banned the import or export of Israeli goods completely, it would just take about 20 countries to do that, and Israel stops. Tomorrow it stops. Their vibrant economy will grind to a halt, and the country will have to do some serious introspection. But, you know, when we create these scenarios, I know that sometimes they sound more hopeful and sometimes hopeless, because we know that Israel has always going to be backed by people who are going to turn a blind eye to what's going on.
And I think that's the damning thing, Shafiq, is that this could have been stopped. This could have been stopped, you know, soon after October the 7th. And as we know, it didn't just start at October the 7th. I mean, Palestinians have been systematically killed and pushed out of their land, etc. So, you know, this could have all stopped. But I think you're absolutely right. Those that will support Israel will continue to support Israel. But I think that where there are those sitting on the fence, that is where the pressure has to be put. Because if there is a majority, then, you know, obviously things will have to move. But those that are sitting on the fence really have to get off that fence. I mean, we understand that the United States, we understand UK. I don't, you know, judging by, you know, the way in which the Israeli president was welcomed and given the red carpet treatment, you know, we're not going to see much coming from them. But I do think that there are countries out there that have the power to shift the change, but are just not taking it up. And a lot of those countries sit within the European Union. So I think that, you know, it's time now that these countries got off the fence and did the right thing and stopped a genocide, because otherwise, you know, they, like I said earlier, you know, there are consequences, and these consequences will hit hard when the chickens do come home to roost.
No, absolutely. And of course, there's another scenario, and I'm sure at Amnesty International, it must be encouraging you that a lot of people from Gen Z, I think the new generation they call Alpha or something, if I've got that one correct, that those generations look at the world completely different to previous generations. They don't carry any baggage and they see it for what it is. And social media has exploded on the issue of Palestine and human rights, even in other places, to the extent where people who would initially have been in a camp supporting Israel as a nation state, Gen Z, Alpha Gen, they're not interested anymore. The numbers are dwindling in terms of the youth. And that, to me, is a very interesting dynamic, that there's an upcoming generation that is not going to stand, perhaps, for the nonsense that our generation has.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, again, you know, we've seen this this pattern, Shafiq, you know, over and over again, where leaders continue to fail and you know, the people rise. And I think, you know, it's no different here. I mean, you know, the youth have definitely risen. I think you're spot on that they are not tolerating any of this. They are not afraid. They are speaking out. I mean, you know, we've got youth on the flotillas. You know, it's just happening all around, and nothing is stopping them. We saw what happened at the universities in the United States. You know, Amnesty just recently released a report in which we look, you know, we actually track the way in which the U.S. was using surveillance technology to basically arrest and clamp down on these students during those protests. We've seen protests break out all over the world. And I think our hope lies in humanity. Our hope lies in human beings standing up and saying, we can't, we will not be part of this. And we will fight this till the bitter end. I think one of my big disappointments, though, Shafiq, I must say, is the Muslim world. And you know,
Yes, everybody's nodding in agreement. Yeah. Everybody's not, even the technician, yeah, nodding in agreement.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, the problem is that, you know, there is power that sits there, but that power is not being used for the good of the Palestinians. So, you know, there are spaces where people and countries and leaders have to introspect. And I think the Muslim world is a clear example of that space. But I think, you know, when it comes to people power, I feel like, you know, the leaders are really, you know, the reason that they're clamping down, the reason that old people in the UK are being arrested for holding up a sign, shows that there is a jitteriness, there's an anxiety, there's a, you know, wanting to, you know, really you know, use authoritarian methods to clamp down on people's rights. And that, for me, you know, is a positive. Yeah. The fact that we are making them nervous, the fact that they're feeling they have to do all of this is a positive. And we have to keep on fighting the fight. You know, we owe it to our future generations, but we also owe it to the people of Palestine, to the people in Sudan, to the people, you know, in Ukraine, all over the world, where leaders have not stepped up and done the right thing.
100%. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Shanila Muhammad, Amnesty International, South Africa's executive director, talking to us about Amnesty International's international report saying that Gaza is experiencing genocide. Shanila Muhammad, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.